Hey, it's Marcia Meyer with another episode of Girl Talk, Women, Aging, and Sexuality. Girl Talk explores all aspects of aging and sexuality, from body image to romance to communication to aging-related challenges. Despite studies that show that women of a certain age still enjoy sex, it's something that's rarely discussed, even among women. Girl Talk aims to change that. Come along and join the conversation.
Barbara Rockman is author of Sting and Nest, winner of the New Mexico Arizona Book Award and the National Press Women Book Prize. Her new collection, To Cleave, is forthcoming in 2019 from University of New Mexico Press. Her poems appear widely in journals, including Bellingham Review, Southern Humanities Review, Taos Journal of Art and Literature, Louisville Review, and Nimrod Journal, as well as in numerous anthologies. Barbara has received the New Mexico Discovery Award, the Southwest Writers Prize, Baskerville Poetry Award, the MacGuffin Poet Hunt Prize, and 4 Pushcart Prize nominations. She is the recipient of artist residencies at Atlantic Center for the Arts and Playa at Summer Lake, Oregon. Barbara teaches writing at Santa Fe Community College in private workshops and with Wingspan Poetry Project, bringing poetry to victims of domestic violence. She received her MFA in writing from Vermont College of Fine Arts.
Hello, Barbara Rockman, and welcome to Girl Talk. Barbara, we're going to talk today about passion and creation, creativity and life, soul, spirit connection, how writing and other art forms elevates our work to something that feeds not only our spirits, but those of all who read, see, feel, and hear it. And when I say arts and passion, I don't mean just erotic passion, though clearly that can be a part of it, but passion for creation, for the love of creation, for the love of humanity. How we all need a creative outlet. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say perhaps women more than men. While men certainly are creative and many are artists, I'd be willing to bet that many men, if not most, get their psychological satisfaction from having power and being in control, rather than from the inherent satisfaction of creation. And I'll probably get an earful from men over this. Bring it on, guys. I'd love to hear from you. Barbara, you wrote an astoundingly beautiful and powerful piece called Erotics of Making in the anthology Unmasked, Women Write About Sex and Intimacy After 50. Which was about the eroticism of creating. Would you read it for us?
I'd be happy to read it. The Erotics of Making. The woman brings her body to the page, the way a climber clamps her thighs to the rock face, the way a lover drops the last garment, the way a girl crawls into a copse and singing arranges acorns and logs, the way a mother skips away from the departing school bus. What is arousal? Words at the pen tip, ink rich as clotted blood, hairs lifted and sinew flexed. Grip the lid, release vinegar, cut lemon. Row out into ooze, lean beyond the oar, raise the leg to climb over into the silt lake bottom, toes sucked down, fear of disappearing. Kiwi's furred cheek, rotting peach eaten anyway. Cuticles burnt by salt. Aged breasts relinquish what's been missed. Blackened lilac slumped to elegy. Aretha's dropped fur. I'm in love with women who liquefy my pen, who swing my arms out from my sides. It happens when I enter their poem, etching, collage, tea bags hung from the spine. One says, after months, inspiration came. Her face beatific, saint of the uncensored. One says, in my studio, deep in the making of, I am orgasm. She swells rice paper into garment, each gesture a seduction. One settles by a meadow, her soft body bent to click, click, crow call, a deer stares. She is so a way into, she is invitation. And I am yes. Without lifting from tap and wonder, lost in dream time, she beckons. Teacher, student, elder, youth, no, women. Another's name, like a razor, cuts me limb from history, tugs my fingers out and rearranges them into a new appendage. She makes of me a placard that screams, violence to save the female race. She introduces me to her friend, Clarice. And the long-armed sister of a past life who understands addiction to doubt throws best of by men across the room. Pages flail like wings of a dying breed. She takes my hands across a table scattered with scratched out words, whispers, we must create a new country. She works her fingers into my tangles. These women raise a mirror, burn through glass, a marbling of ink blots and burst meteors. When a silver surface is stripped, a black pool gushes. Theorist and artist, mother and lover, mentor and apprentice, marriage bed, ocean edge, the 100 seductions, the 1,000 spent bodies. Aftermath, bliss. I have made this. I have read you. You have listened. We sleep the sleep of each other's dreams. We become the tale lost in the woods. But we return home, purple dusk, hour of sap. We grip oars. We climb over the lip.
I absolutely adore this piece so much. What do you think this piece is about?
Oh, okay. Well, specifically, it's about being inspired by other female artists and writers. And there, as you know, at the end of it, I mentioned the names of who these women actually are. And these women artists whose company I keep, whether it's, you know, in the written word or hanging out with them in their studios. And they're all women who, for me, have been fearless and have taken great risks with their work and followed their intuition in their work. And I want to do that. And so this was an attempt to embody that and say that making art is a way of being turned on. It's a way of feeling things deeply in your body and your soul, and they come flooding out. And I feel it's like an arousal. It's like being seduced by the muse and off you go, you know, just fired up and you can't stop. And so that's all part.
It's such a wonderful wave to feel that, you know, to be swept away on a wave of creative arousal. There's nothing else in the world like it. And I know I'm sorry for people who've never experienced that. It's such an empowering and powerful feeling to be in that place. Tell me a little bit. I know there's a woman artist who does dresses who you've done quite a bit of collaboration with. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
Yeah, really interesting story. I'll try to keep it short. Cynthia Fusillo is an installation artist, a printmaker, and a painter who showed up in a class I was teaching many years ago at the community college called Women Write to the Heart. And she walked right in with her portfolio of artwork to show the class. And right away, I thought, oh my God, this woman is she's in her power. She's amazing. And so over the years, we got to know each other well. And we did many collaborations in Santa Fe, where the writing of my students would be incorporated into an art installation that she was doing. And there was a great exchange. So a number of years ago, she started making these three-dimensional rice paper dresses, which included found objects, feathers, and they were stained with tea and rocks and twigs and all these amazing things. And they were very primal and archetypical, and they excited, oh, probably 15, 20 pieces of poetry and short essay that were inspired these dresses. We have yet to do the final collaboration of creating an installation or a book, but the hope is for that.
Oh, I hope so too. I would be thrilled, and it would be so fascinating to see the two pieces of art next to each other.
Yeah.
I really hope that you guys do an installation, and I would love to see a book come out of it as well. That would be so awesome.
So she's the person who I quote in the poem saying, when I'm making art, it's as if I'm having an orgasm. I mean, she said those words to me, and that was so liberating to me to realize that she is such an intuitive creator, and it's all in her body. It's in every cell as she's making art. So
I love that, you know, the idea of having the art be in your cells, in your body, because I think, and we've had conversations with other friends about, so many of us live in our heads and we don't feel our bodies. And when we start to do our art, like you said, it's primal. We need to be able to be in our bodies to create, because that's what women do with childbirth, right? We create life. And so if we can be in our bodies, we can also create art.
Yeah. And it's not without pain. I mean, you mentioned childbirth, and that's so interesting. I mean, there's the pain and the doubt and the tension, and then there's this flood when it's coming of this uncensored energy that is a complete mystery. You know, it's that thing where you write something in the middle of the night and then you wake up the next morning and you read it and you say, who wrote that?
Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah. It's that amazing feeling of channeling some huge, I don't know what it is, some godlike energy from the universe, which is pretty fabulous when it happens.
Totally fabulous. And it kind of leads into the question I had, which was next, which was, you know, how does that art, how does that creation feed our souls? And I think it's almost like it's necessary for life. And I, you know, I mentioned there are some people that I think maybe never get to experience this, or they, you know, maybe they do, but in a different way. But I think artists have a kind of a deep channel to that. I think there are some people who live their whole lives and they're happy to just like go along and do whatever they do and work without ever feeling drawn to write or paint or express. But I think it's essential for life. It's like, maybe it's one of those, you know, hierarchy of needs things, you know, maybe it's more about being able to get beyond the necessary basic needs to a place of higher intuition and being able to draw in that creation and experience it as a soul awakening.
Yeah, I like that you're talking about that. You know, I teach and I write and I consider, you know, creating community to be really an essential part of the creative process. And it's mostly communities of women that I find myself with, either teaching or being supported by. It's more and more, I'm just claiming this process as a spiritual process. It's an organic process. The teaching flows into the writing, and the writing flows, one woman's writing flows into another woman's writing. And there's a God thing here. I mean, I'm a person who never used the word God until, you know, the last half dozen years. And whatever that means to people, some higher power, some universal energy. And that's this rush, this high, this, like, you know, what my friend Cynthia would say is near orgasm. It's this feeling of being part of some cosmic flow. And that's just like such an amazing gift that through which this might happen.
I absolutely love that. And the women, the sisterhood, right? There's something about sisterhood that binds us as creatives. I don't know. There may be men that feel that in men's writing groups. I'm not, you know, I don't know. I don't hear men talk about it, but certainly women talk about the creative, the bindery of being creative together.
I mean, I am all for men finding each other and bonding and making great things, but honestly, I am so devoted to women finding their voices. And I'm a woman who grew up with all these powerful men around her who were very bright and articulate and intimidating. And the women that I talk to all have stories about being silenced, whether they were literally abused or just sidelined by the culture. I think we need each other. And I think this piece that I wrote is about that as well, is honoring these women who have been my teachers and my mentors. And I'm all for women stepping up, and as tentatively as it might be on that first step on the path, but just taking those steps and circling each other and witnessing each other and reflecting back to each other. Yes, 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 you have something to say. You're amazing. Yeah.
Because so. We're not getting it from the patriarchy, right?
No.
Yeah, we need to get it from each other. And I know you work with women who have been subjected to domestic violence.
The very same thing. I mean, it doesn't matter what community is of women is gathered, whether they are victims of domestic violence or, you know, I have a class, a poetry class I teach that's mostly women over 50 who are all white and somewhat privileged. And I teach a community college class called Women Write Their Lives, very diverse group economically and ethnically. And it is the same story in every group, that it is about listening to each other. I mean, of course, I'm the catalyst to get some writing happening, but then it's about listening to each other and cheering each other on. And I can have three women sitting at the shelter where I work with women who are victims of domestic violence, and they're just like, yay, go, you're amazing. And they just keep, you know, applauding each other. And that's such a gift.
It's a huge gift. And it's so needed because women in our culture don't generally get that. We don't get it in the workplace. We don't get it societally. We don't get it generally from any of the structures of our culture. So yes, we need to keep giving it to each other in every possible way that we can possibly do it. So I'm grateful for you and for what you do for women, and grateful for your wonderful poem.
Thank you.
Well, we're about out of time, so is there anything you'd like to say or suggest or leave us with for women who would love to learn how to start?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing that I've watched over 20 years of teaching women writing now is take the step, you know, just jump in. I just can't encourage women enough to believe that they have something to say and find some kind of forum in which they can say it. It might be three women getting together and reading poems together in somebody's living room or in a coffee shop. Or it's been beautiful to watch all the small groups that have kind of satellited out from my classes over the years who still get together with each other in twos or threes or fours. And it doesn't have to be a formal thing. And I really do believe it's so much about listening. And the more you're listened to, the more you believe that you have some power and something unique to say. So that's my thing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for this beautiful conversation this morning. Well, I'm just so delighted that we've been able to get together. And thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. It's a pleasure.
Join us next time for another episode of Girl Talk, Women, Aging, and Sexuality. You can find Girl Talk on iTunes, Google, Spotify, and wherever fine podcasts are found. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and consider making an ongoing contribution to keep us going. We would be forever grateful.